What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mulready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
All right. What's up, my friends? So pumped about today's episode. Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. I am Rick Mulready, and I'm here to help online experts grow and scale your business so that you can reach and help more people, so that you can amplify your impact. And when you do all those things, not only do you get to increase your revenue in the process, but you and your audience get to have better lives. And those, my friends, are the things that this is all about, right? So when I'm recording this, we just wrapped up our first of two in-person retreats here in San Diego for my Accelerator Mastermind members. And man, was it ever epic. We got this amazing house here in San Diego overlooking the ocean. We brought a private chef in on the first night to cook everyone dinner. We had this amazing tables and everything on the deck overlooking the ocean, everything. It was awesome. And while, yes, all those things add to the experience, it's really all about the 15 members of the Accelerator that truly make the experience what it is. And not only are these online experts up to big things in their business, but they're all such good people. And that's really what makes this group and this first retreat so epic. And I wanted to share real quick with you two big takeaways from the retreat that was kind of a common theme over the weekend. Okay. And that first takeaway is this whole, I shared my concept of what I call the key three. And the key three is the top three priorities that you as the business owner should be focusing on in your business to grow your business. And as I mentioned and kind of jokingly said, not jokingly, I jokingly said it because it's super critical, right? One of the key three should be selling, right? You're selling, selling, selling. And we spent a lot of time talking about this because I was hearing more and more that people wanted to make sure that they were spending time on the quote unquote right things to move their business forward and ensure that they were doing the highest leverage activities in their business. This is something that I interviewed a ton of people for the Accelerator Mastermind. And this is one thing that came up over and over and over. And people said, I'm not quite sure that I'm spending my time on the right things. I want to make sure that I have a plan and that I'm spending the time on the right things. And so at this retreat, we identify the key three for everybody there, which was really cool. The second big takeaway is that, my friends, we are overcomplicating our businesses. And I have very much been guilty of this up until fairly recently too. We have too many offers. There's pricing confusion. People are trying to do too many things because we all think that more is the way to higher revenue, when in fact, simpler is better. And the simpler that you can make things, the more revenue that you will make. And so this was another theme of the weekend. People are overcomplicating their businesses with too many offers, pricing confusion, just doing too many things and putting too much out there when we can simplify. The simpler, the better, and the simpler that things are, the more revenue you're going to make. It's kind of counterintuitive to how we think about things. So those are the two big, there's a lot, but those are two big takeaways that I wanted to share with you here on the show. Just an amazing weekend, and things are just getting started for this particular group as we go into go until the end of the year. And that leads me to a big announcement, and that is I'm opening up a brand new 6-month accelerator mastermind group for 15 online experts, and this is going to begin October 1st, 2019 and run until March 30th, 2020. And so if you'd like to learn more and apply, go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. I'll also talk more about it after the interview here with Casey. So speaking of Casey, I am super pumped on today's episode to welcome my good friend and a mentor of mine, Casey Graham. And Casey has started and sold three businesses, and he's now the founder and CEO of a company called Gravy. I've been following Casey for several years now, probably the past 6 years. And we talked a little bit about that on the show today. And his company called Gravy, they help online businesses return failed payments and also retain their customers. And I asked Casey to come on the podcast because the dude is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to running and growing online businesses. And so today we cover things like three simple strategies for retaining your customers. Because remember, it's always more expensive to acquire a customer than it is to keep an existing customer. And we talk a lot about that here today. We also talk about why the way that you acquired a customer matters so much when it comes to retaining that person. And Casey breaks that down and shares exactly what that means. We talk about four reasons that people don't want to pay you anymore and simple strategies for fixing those four reasons. Casey shares his suggestions for how to increase lifetime customer value of your customers. He shares what the quote unquote trouble triangle and the magic moment principles are and how you can implement them today to keep your customers happy and avoid potential issues ahead of time. And I also take Casey on a few tangents today where we talk about a lot of different things here today, including what Casey sees wrong with the online course business. That was a really interesting part of the discussion here. We talk about how to transition from being the entrepreneur in your business to the CEO of your business. And I kind of selfishly asked him because he has kids, he's got a family. I'm going through this in my own life as a new dad. Maya's 7.5 months old, but also running a business. And so I asked him, and we have a little conversation around how we can learn to turn the switch off, if you will, at the end of the day as busy entrepreneurs so that we can make the most of the time that we have in the day with our families or for our personal endeavors or whatever we have going on. How do we turn that switch off? Okay. So regardless of where you're at in your business, whether you're just starting out in the business or you're looking to break through seven figures, you're going to learn a ton here from Casey. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Casey Graham. All right, Casey, I have risen my standing desk. I'm standing up right now. I was sitting down earlier.
You better be standing up.
I had to be get ready.
You got to get fired up.
Casey Graham, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing,
man? Thanks for having me, man. It's so good to see you. And I've seen you more this year than in any year of our lives. And I've loved that.
It's so good. It's so good. And before I have you introduce yourself to AOPT Nation here, I want to share just a quick backstory of how I know you. So Casey used to have a podcast. What was the podcast? The seven figure
CEO podcast.
The seven figure CEO podcast.
And we're about to get moving. We're rebranding it to Gravycast. And the episodes are batched and it's coming, baby.
I like it. Well, I used to listen to his podcast because it was all about, he had seven figure business owners on and what they do to run their business and the challenges and all that stuff like that. And I thought it was one of the better podcasts about that topic. And there really weren't at the time, this is a few years ago, there weren't many podcasts about specifically about that. And so I would listen to it and, you know, I didn't know Casey. My goal was, I'm like, I want to be on that podcast someday.
Yeah.
And I left being a podcaster myself, I know the value of leaving a rating and review for a podcast that I like. And I left one. And you actually responded to me. I forget how you did it, but
Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, that's what it was. And you just reached out, just saying thank you. And I was like, wow, that was really like, I appreciated that, you know? And so, and long story short is we ended up being connected and by Amy Porterfield. And yeah. I ended up being on the podcast this a couple of years ago. And, and Casey, as you're going to hear in just a minute, runs a company called Gravy. And we started working with Gravy two years ago.
Yeah, it's almost 2 years ago.
Yeah. And Casey's been out to San Diego quite a bit here at the end of 2018 and also 2019. So I've gotten to see him quite a bit when he's out here. So, and I'm not just saying this because Casey's on, he's literally one of my favorite people in this business. And I'm not saying that to kiss his butt or anything like that. I legitimately mean that because he has so much integrity and he's building a business the right way. And he is a relationship first person and not in a fake way, like genuinely, you know, wants to get to know you and help you and all that stuff. So without further ado, tell Casey to the audience here.
That's awesome. Well, I'm Casey, and I always have to say my wife's name is Casey as well. Just
because I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So if I start talking about Casey said this or that, I'm not talking about myself in third person, because I've actually been on stage before and not told people, and then people will be like, "That dude's a douchebag," you know. Like, so that's my wife. We've been married for this is year 14, and I've got two great kids, Darby, who's about to be 12, and Gage is about to be 8. And so they're at their first summer camp right now. And a lot of family, a lot of lake, a lot of life. I'm a work hard, play hard guy. Like, I have a switch. When I go home, I turn the switch off and I play. And so we love doing that. But for work, I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Gravy. We're the leading expert in helping recover customers and failed payments for subscription-based businesses. And so we started a little over 2 years ago, and it's been a wild, wild ride. We've learned a lot along the way. And I think hopefully today, you know, we've had, I think it was like the last stat I saw, it's right over 500,000 email correspondence, text, or phone calls with customers in just this one niche, not even other niches. Mm-hmm. So we've had over 500,000 interactions in the past 2 years. And so more than anything, it's been fun to just learn like how to retain customers that you buy and you attract, like how do you keep them staying and paying for a long time?
Yeah, I want to dive into that because obviously we talk a lot about paid traffic here in the show, and we're paying for leads and we're paying for customers. How do we obviously want to keep them because we're paying to acquire them. And, I have so many questions. I think I want to go and, you know, and just so for everybody listening, and Casey knows this too, or he's going to know this now, I don't approach these interviews with a list of questions. I literally have one sentence in front of me right now on a Google Doc as I'm talking to Casey, and I have an idea where I want this to go, but
that's like awesome.
Being like me and Casey sitting down for coffee, and where I think that you guys listeners are going to get the most benefit from this conversation. And
good,
we can go a few different directions and cover a lot of important things here. So you mentioned something just a second ago before we even get into like, you know, retaining your customers and all that stuff. You turn the switch off when you get home from work, when you get home with the kids and the family. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? That's just something that I have struggled with for the past few years, and I've gotten better at it. But this is even more so important to me because I now have a daughter and she's 6 months old. So how do you do it? What have you learned that works for doing that? Because this is something that I hear in my students and stuff like that all the time.
I learned it through not doing it and the pain I experienced through not doing it. So this wasn't like I've been great at this. It's been a learning, a painful learning. One of the things that I had to learn early on in business is, you know, and I say this to entrepreneurs a lot, don't let your bad day become your family's bad night. Mm. Don't let your bad day become your family's bad night. And so many times, you know, the client left or the sale fell through, or the launch didn't work and all this kind of stuff. And then I literally would just go home and it would just, I mean, the tone I would set would just be so eggshells, you know, like, you know, dad's, you know, not yelling or any of that, just disengaged and just kind of aloof. And so more of it would be not me working on a computer. I don't even have a computer, like no joke. I just have a phone. So I'm not like a type and email computer guy. It would just be like, I'd be disconnected. I would be checked out, or I would be frustrated and angry. So that's where I started. And then over time, I started doing this thing on the way home where I used to listen to books on the way home, and I used to have phone calls on the way home, and I'd call my staff. And again, I have a commute. Some people may not have a commute because you work in your house, right? But what I would do is I went total music, windows down, check out, and I would get in my driveway, and literally out loud, I would say, I am a dad. I am not a CEO. I am a dad. I'm not a CEO. I am a husband. I am not a CEO. And my family needs, listen, I get on this podcast with you and I turn it on. But if I go home, I could just slouch around and, you know, just be all and all this kind of stuff. And what I found is the people closest to you, oftentimes, I heard this quote that familiarity breeds contempt. So familiarity breeds contempt. And so it's so easy to just let the people that are closest to us get the least from us. And so I experienced a lot of pain for a lot of years because of that. And I just made a decision. So my decision was that. And honestly, it's a decision like a decision of working out, a decision of, you know, getting up and reading, a decision of doing something. It's a decision that helps. I will say number two, I'm an Enneagram 7. So I don't know if you know Enneagram stuff. Have you ever taken that or heard of it?
No, what is that again?
Enneagram. Dude, you gotta, it's the best self-awareness tool that I've come across. It's called the Enneagram.
Spell it for me. Cause I want all my listeners.
I don't know if I'm going to spell it right, but it's E-N-N-A-G-R-A-M, Enneagram. Ian Cron wrote a book called The Road Back to You.
Okay.
And anyway, the seven in the Enneagram is pretty extreme. So one thing that it plays to my advantage that I love playing just as much as I love working. And so I can just switch it off. And in a conversation right now, you could tell me, now let's talk about the circus. And I could go talk about, I don't need a talk track. So I can go from one thing to the other and switch it off. And so my personality type has also played into that as well.
Okay. So I just looked it up while you're talking. I think you had it right. E N N E A G R A M.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I'm from Alabama. So I don't ask me to spell on your show, Rick. And if you're from Alabama, I'm sorry. I'm making fun of all of us.
I'm going to do that assessment later on. So that's good stuff.
Do the paid one. Do the paid one, not the free
one. Okay. Yeah. And thank you for that. I think that's really helpful. I'm a lot better than at it now than I was, but I still have improvements that, you know, that I want to make. And I mean, I even think about last night, you know, I didn't have a great day, and I came home and I was kind of pissy a little bit, and not like mad like that, but just as you described, it was like, you know, a little detached, and like, you know, here I am, I have just a couple hours with my daughter, and, you know, before she goes to bed and bath time and all that stuff. And so anyway, thank you.
So, you know, another statement I heard is that, you know, your kids aren't going to stand up and read your resume at your funeral. So they don't care. And a lot of people say, well, I'm providing, right? I'm bringing like all this, and then you guys should respect me because I'm bringing home this thing. And it's like, they don't care about that. The only thing they care about is love and connection, being love and connection. And daddy, will you fish with me? Yes. Daddy, will you do this with me? Yes. And being present, being with them. And so it's a constant battle. It's something we work on, but man, it's just been a journey for me.
I love that. I love that. So let's go back to talk about going from topic to topic. Let's go back to gravy and retaining customers.
Yeah.
Whenever I describe your company to somebody, they're like, oh, they're a collection agency.
And that makes me shiver.
I'm like, no. Collection agency has like just such a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I work with you guys, and I would never, I mean, just for me personally, I would not work with a collection agency. No judgment on anybody who is doing that. It's just not, that's just not how I want to treat my customers. How are you guys different from that? Because you mentioned, you're like, look, like we are about helping entrepreneurs retain their customers. And I think totally. That's a very different, you know, feeling angle to this topic than other companies.
Yeah. Well, collection companies, they're utilized when it's too late. So it's usually because the entrepreneur or the business has not done a good job at trying to retain their customers in the first place. And so that you wait too late. The collections agency use, because they've waited too late, they have to use fear tactics to get people to respond, which is demoralizing to human beings to have fear tactics. And collection agencies take the majority of the payment for themselves. And so those are the three things that collections agency do. The opposite is within an hour, we've actually built a technology since we actually worked with you. So within an hour of a failed transaction, if there's a customer that has a subscription and their transaction fails, we have a personalized email communicating with them. Because we're doing it in such a short sprint, we found here's the number one strategy for getting somebody to give you money. Be nice to them.
Soccer, right?
So treating them with dignity and restoring them and feeling like they're a human, even if they owe the money, you don't make them feel like they owe you anything. You're partnering with them in the conversation and the process, right? And what I found is anytime you create a conversation and you have empathy and you're nice with people, the response rate is much higher. So that's the second thing, is that we're having a conversation along the way. We're not waiting. And then the third thing is that we don't keep the lion's share. So when we bring a customer back, we only get a little portion of the first month's payment. And then our goal is for you as the business owner to keep all of the lifetime value of that customer and not give it to us. We believe that you bought the customer, that you should keep the customer. And people view us as like I guess the Ritz-Carlton of payment recovery. And it's like a back end, it's like a white glove approach to a sticky subject. Now, here's the thing. We're not dealing with companies where there's like, they owe $40,000. These are subscription based company. So you're dealing with small dollar amounts. And so we've just seen that, like, if you're on top of it, and if we have a 60-day cadence that we follow. So a lot of companies are really good at like day one, sending some automated email, or day three, retrying the credit card. But that gets the easy low hanging fruit. We want to get all of it. And so it takes about 60 days of the process. And we have a cadence that we follow in a software that tells us where everybody is in the process and what step to take, whether it's email, text, or call. So that's the difference. I mean, it's not even the same thing. Like, it's so collections makes me shiver.
I wish you guys could see Casey on video right now.
I'm like disgusted.
Don't apologize. He didn't know I was going to ask that question. So what are some ways, because you work with a lot of different types of companies. So what are some ways that you see that, both from your own experience, but also what you see from your customers in retaining customers, like some good strategies for that? Because you and I have talked about this in the past a lot. Like, just because somebody doesn't, let's just say that they, like, the payment doesn't go through.
Yep.
It's usually not because they're upset with you or don't like such and such product, or I don't want to make this payment. It's just like, there's, you know, the credit card expired or whatever. It's, you know, it's usually just a simple little thing. But what are some ways that, you know, we as entrepreneurs can be, what simple strategies for retaining our customers?
Yeah. 53%, just for perspective, of the people that we're retaining payment for fail because of insufficient funds or a bank hold. So that's when the situation is, you've got to treat them with empathy, right? And you've got to partner with them in the payment and different things like that. But I guess what you're asking, specific strategies that you see companies do?
Yeah. Are there certain things that we, you know, let's just say that, you know, we've got a listener has a 997 program, and they've got a 12 pay or something like that, $97 a month. And, you know, they want to make sure they're keeping their customers, right? Like, they've paid for those leads to come into the webinar, to come into the video series, to come into whatever. And look, I want to keep these customers, you know, whether it's the route of following up with them when their credit card, you know, declines. But in addition to that, what are some things that we can do? But even before that happens,
the number one way to keep customers a long period of time, and what we see, is that the way that you acquired the customer is the way that you're going to have to retain the customer. So the more tactics you use to acquire the customer, the more tactics you're going to have to use to keep the customer.
What do you mean by that?
So, okay, I'm just going to pick on the course space just for a minute.
Totally.
And listen, I'm part of it. So I've done it and I've been in there. And so the whole thing being the idea of like, you get on there and there's this bonuses and these offers and act now. And if you don't do it by the end of the webinar, and we're going to give you this and we're going to give you this and we're going to give you this, and you're going to get access to this Facebook thing, and you're going to get 6 coaching calls, and you're going to, and there's this stacked amount of thing where it becomes like this no brainer for them to come in, and they're going to pay you $99 or whatever the thing is. Mm. And they're going to be on a payment plan. Is that if that person's card fails, that person, the way they were acquired with tactics, oftentimes they are harder to bring back and acquire because they're the type of person that needs those kind of things to get them to move and to act. Mm. Okay. Yeah. So again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't use tactics. I'm just saying the people we know that use, like people that use forced continuity, even though they say it's not forced continuity, like you get rolled into the plan. Those people's customers are extremely, so the way you acquire the customer, if you do lots of discounts, if you do lots of bonuses, if you do lots of like limited time onlys, if that's the way you're acquiring a customer, you're going to have a really bad problem on the back end of your business of retaining those customers. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you do a really good job on the front end, and you can do some bonuses and things like that, but it can't be like so flashing arrow, like right now, so hard. Like it needs to be, they're buying because of the value, and the companies that don't discount are the easiest companies for us to retain payments for, because they've gotten good customers in the door that aren't coming because of a discount. We serve people in the box subscription industry. And one of the things that we learned a hard lesson on is, and now anybody we talk to in the box subscription industry, the number one question is, how are you paying to acquire customers? Because the first customer we got in that space was a Groupon acquirer. So all of their people are Groupon customers, and then they're all pissed, and we can't keep their customers on the back end at a high rate because they acquired them. So the question I would have is, how are you acquiring your customers? Are you going to be are you going to be high value, or are you going to be high tactics? And I would lean on more value than tactics. You may have a lower amount of sales on the front end. You'll have a higher customer lifetime value on the back end. So that's number one. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Totally.
Yep. Number two is very clear language of what people are buying and not fine print. Okay. So a lot of people, and then Rick, I know you've gotten this email. I didn't know I was signing up for a $99 thing, or I didn't know. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. Even people with the clearest language get this.
Yeah.
But hyper clear language where they have to check the box, but then they also have to put an initial that says, if it's a payment plan, that this is what the terms are, and it is so blatantly clear and blatantly obvious. Mm-hmm. So many people do not do this. And then they get mad at their customers, and I say, well, what, show me your page. And it's like, yeah, I have it, but it's like this hidden thing, and it's like low, and it's like, no, make it like you're going to lose sales, but you're going to keep customers better if you have clear language. So that's another thing I would say on the front end of the funnel that you got to do. Okay. And if you get a chargeback, all you have to do is screenshot your clear language and send that. And that clear language is going to be the thing that allows you to win chargebacks when people say that they didn't know they were in a payment plan.
Gotcha. Is that more than having I agree to the terms and conditions?
Yeah.
Terms and conditions is hyperlinked. And then there's a checkbox that you have to check the checkbox in order to, you know,
make it clear.
Is that clear enough? Or should there be more language there that still links out to a terms and conditions?
I wouldn't link it. I would make I'd put the sentence right there on the sales page. It says, I am committing to a $1,297 or whatever the thing is over a year. And I understand that every payment's this. And if I can't pay that, I would make it so blatantly obvious and so blatantly clear that it would be really hard for them to not know what they're doing.
Sure.
And because most people, including me, I'll check the terms and conditions and not even read. I'll just check it and go on.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we might lose some customers that way, but the ones who we get are going to stay with us and not have the problems like you're talking about in the back end.
That's right. And it's not that you really lost, I don't think you'll lose. I don't have stats on like the landing page, you know, split testing that, but it's really that you'll just gain better customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than you're going to lose, you know, it's not like you're going to lose everybody because of it. So that's a couple things on the front end that I would say. The next thing I would say is that along the way, if you know, so if people are on an annual subscription, a quarterly subscription, or a monthly subscription, the way you should act is this. Even if they're under contract, the way you should act is, because what a lot of marketers and entrepreneurs do, and I've been guilty of this when I was in my old endeavor selling courses and stuff too. All I talked about was we had a big launch. We had 1,000 customers. And then like by month six, they weren't top of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just weren't. I mean, I would say, oh yeah, we love our customers. But like on month six, they weren't. And so act as if every month is you're starting over and you're going to lose every single one of these customers. If you knew you were going to lose every single one of them, how would you treat them? What would you do? Right. And so those sprints, and they don't have to be a lot of big, crazy things, but that's the kind of mentality to act every single month like you're going to lose the customers that month. So we teach our retention specialists. We have a red, yellow, green system internally, and we label our clients like an Uber score internally based upon some factors. And so every month we're asking the question, okay, this client's going to leave. What can we do? They may be super happy. What can we do to keep them staying, keep them paying? What can we send? What can we add value along the way? So those are some things that aren't, those are the proactive things. Have a credit card auto updater for the easy things like billing address. And if somebody gets a new card, a Visa, MasterCard, all of them, they have it where you can have it plugged into whether it's Infusionsoft or Stripe or whatever, where it'll automatically update the credit card in advance if they get a new card.
Is that an add-on or something? I've never heard that before.
Well, like Infusionsoft, I know, for instance, they have it in the software. And I know there's people that have Infusion that they don't. Stripe automatically does it.
Okay.
So Stripe has it in there. So just make sure whatever your tech stack is, the question you need to ask your payment processor or your CRM is, do you include this in the software?
And is that called something specific?
It's auto updaters.
It's auto updater.
Just, yeah, it updates the credit card automatically updates.
Okay.
And so that's if they change out cards or whatever. And honestly, I don't know how the technology knows that with the banks and American Express and all this kind of stuff, but it automatically does it on simple administrative things.
Sure. What about on the back end? Are there other, you mentioned, you just shared a couple of strategies there. And we're talking about increasing customer value and obviously keeping our customers. So we talked about some totally on the front end. Anything more on the back end that we can be doing?
You know, so out of the 500,000 things that we found, there's really four things that bubbled up for us that were reasons that people didn't want to pay anymore. Mm-hmm. The first one was the product or whatever, it was overwhelming.
Mm.
And so what we say always is make it obvious for the oblivious. So make your product, your course, whatever. Apple obviously is the best example of you open the box and you pull the thing and then it's at 70% and you know exactly what press here and do this. For people that have physical products or ship boxes or for people that have online courses or for SaaS companies, the number one thing that we tell people to do is what's called an over-the-shoulder exercise. And so you can do this. There's a software called Full Story out of Atlanta. So you can watch people's web sessions of how they interact with your product. So you can see what they're clicking on, what they do, whatever. So you can go full story. After you watch about 30 of those, everybody, you'll start going, oh, this is what everybody's doing. So that's one. And the second thing is get on Zoom. This is so hyper practical. Get on Zoom with somebody. Let's just say, you know, you're selling Facebook advertising course. Let's just say that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Get on Zoom with my mom. She's, you know, in her 60s. She's not in the niche. She knows nothing about it. And watch my mom go through your course. And it's got to be so simple that my mom is not in the target market. She doesn't care about it or whatever, where she knows exactly what to do when she has no intuitive nature whatsoever as it relates to this topic. And so the way you do that is always ask the question when you're looking at a screen or you're looking at, there's two things you got to ask is what do I do now? And what do I do next? What do I do now? What do I do next? And that's it. And there's too much crap out there. And so the number one reason we see people with failed payments, they'll say, I just couldn't get it done. We'll say, well, what's happening? Like, well, there's so much. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to get a result.
Mm.
So.
Okay. It makes sense. It makes sense. Overwhelming. Get on Zoom. Have somebody who doesn't necessarily.
And watch them.
Watch them go through. Okay.
And ask them, why did you do that? Every 90 seconds, you say, why did you click on that? What did you think that meant? Those kind of questions and go through. And so people just don't do this. People put their course together and it's because it makes total sense to me that you would watch the video and it makes total sense that you send this download and that you copy this email and it is total sense that you do that. Of course it does, because you made it.
Right, sure.
So you've got to make it obvious for the oblivious. And the way to do that is watch oblivious person go through your thing, and then it will become obvious for you what to do.
I love that. I love that.
So that's
four. Yeah, you got two more.
Yep. So another one was what we call the trouble triangle. So like when people have trouble with your company in any way, especially, so if it's in the course space, which I know there's a lot of people that listen in different genres here, but there's a lot of people in the course space, you know, it's either I've got a question with my content or the product. So whatever it is, the product, I got a question about it, how to use it, how it works, whatever. I've got a technical question. I can't log in. I don't have my password. Something's not working. The link isn't working. Or I have a payment issue. So this is the trouble triangle. And so what I've seen in small business is that we are horrendous at staying on top of those questions and requests. So if I went to your website or was in your product, what email address, what phone number, what's the step to do? And so I think what our friend Amy does a great job of telling people and showing people exactly where to go and what to do, because what we found is that the longer you delay in getting to somebody's request, the louder they get online about how bad your product or service or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, what's your press Z? We call it the press zero principle. What's your press zero line? Like you call Delta and you're just, you know, and you hear the automated thing and you want to press zero. When you have a problem, you just want to talk to somebody. So you don't have to talk to all your customers, but what is the simple, clear training thing when you're onboarding a customer in any way where you make it vividly clear? Because if not, they're in your Facebook group saying something, then they're emailing you, and then they're doing this thing, and then you get a direct message, and then you get this crazy stuff. So what's the clear pathway to solve their problem is very important. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I love it.
Hey, Rick, are we on track? Is this helpful? Like, tell me the truth.
It absolutely is. I'm taking a bunch of notes over here, selfishly speaking, like, how can I improve the stuff that we're doing? You know,
yeah,
like super helpful.
Yeah. The third one is called the magic moment principle. Within 7 days, you need to give people an absolute win that isn't even the result that you're promising from the product or the course or the thing, but it is a psychological win that allows them to feel as if they're taking a step in the right direction. Okay.
Yeah.
What I see so many people do is they know, no, you've got to know this whole system and you've got to have this whole thing. And it's like, no. Just tell them what to do right now. Here's the email to send. Here's the thing. So a story from that was I used to be in the church space. And so we had courses in the church space. And I had this course on how to raise money without being a TV preacher. And that was kind of how it was, is like, because most people think pastors are good at talking about money. And it's like, no, that's just like 1% of the TV preachers, but 99% just like want to help people and talk about the Bible or whatever, but they're clueless on how to raise money for the organization. So I built this whole course and this whole strategy of how to do all this stuff. And it's a 12-month thing. And it's all this crazy. And there's coaching videos and all these resources. And people started falling off about month three, month four. And the two things I did is I started calling every person that unsubscribed from the email list, and not to win them back, but to ask them why. I just want to know, like, what's happening. And I was calling these people and they were saying it's just overwhelming. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna call people who are staying and seeing what they're doing. I called the people who are staying and they were like, well, this thing called Giving Talks, and it was like the easiest thing that we were doing. It was simply a 2-paragraph script that the pastor would print out, and they would, on Sunday morning, talk to their congregation. We would tell them exactly word for word what to say to their congregation about raising money.
Quick win.
And they said, they're only doing for $99 a month. They said, I said, you're watching my coaching videos, right? And they're like, well, you know, and so we then rearranged the whole course around giving them something that if we didn't send that out every week, that they would be emailing us going, where is it? Mm. And so my question for you and your product or your course or your software is, what is it something that every week, if you didn't send it to them, that people would absolutely be pissed about and say, I need it, give it to me. What is that for you?
Interesting. I love this, dude. I love this.
Well, the principle there is you give them what they want and then you teach them what they need later. So you give them what they want now, but then you teach them what they need later.
Right, right.
So
what do you see? Do you have any more of those before I ask my next question?
Yeah, this last one is, I call it the 55 cents principle.
Your name stuff is on point, man.
Well, the first one was called the first one was the Mad Mom principle. And I didn't tell you the story on that one. I'll tell you later. But the fourth one is, here's the deal. it costs 55 cents to send a handwritten note to somebody in the United States of America currently. Mm-hmm. And so I was talking to my friend who actually lives out now in 29 Palms. Mm-hmm. He's a colonel in the Marines. There's only 600 colonels in the Marines out of 182,000 Marines. So he's pretty high up. And I was talking to him, and he said this guy, this young Marine, was like, his job was like working on the trucks and putting tires on trucks. And so he just saw this guy like totally fading and just like, I thought I was coming to the Marines, it was going to be exciting, and I'm just in the hot sun like changing tires. And so he found out the guy's name, and then he wrote a handwritten thank you note to the guy's mom and didn't tell him. Said, this guy is an unbelievable Marine. He's the best. Like, just bragged on him. Just a handwritten note, 55-cent stamp, sends it to the mom. He comes back the next week. He says the guy is the wrench. He's turning. Like, he's pointing his finger. He's running around. This is, like, the biggest thing. And he said it was the first time in his life where I realized that 55 cents can absolutely change somebody's existence, their life. Like, that guy's mom called him and told him how awesome he was, and it cost him 55 cents in 2 minutes. And so the thing here is, when's the last time you were hyper, super thankful and personal with a customer? When's the last time you sent a handwritten thank you note and just said thank you? When's the last time you picked up a phone call, not to like win somebody over or do a meeting, but just to say, I honestly, you pay all of my bills. You're the customer. I don't pay any, I tell my staff, I don't pay any of your payroll. Our customers pay your payroll. Like, So when's the last time you picked up the phone and called somebody? And I learned from a leader, and here's what he said, because then people listen to this, they go, well, I can't do this for everybody, but here's what you do. Here's the principle. I learned this from a guy named Andy Stanley. He said, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. So when's the last time you made a big deal out of somebody? You did something awesome for them. We sent somebody on a trip to Cancun, like, just because, right? When's the last time you do that? And so that being personal, the 55-cent principle is huge. So every customer that comes into Gravy, I handwrite a personal handwritten thank you note and give them my direct email address and tell them that I will listen to them at any time with any question and any complaint and any thought that they ever have. And so the point of that being is just be personal. And in the age of automation and technology, the companies that are win are the companies that feel the most personal.
Yeah.
And real.
You're really good about that. I mean, I just got a card from you 2 days ago.
You did.
Thanking me for, you know, doing the interview with you when you were here in San Diego.
No.
And, you know, when that shows up, like, I hate getting mail, like normal mail, but if there's a card or if there's a letter to me or something, I love that. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a cork board in my office of all thank you cards that I've gotten. It means the world to me, you know.
That's awesome.
And your note went right up there, and you were just very simple thanking me for, you know, for taking the time to sit down, do that interview with you. And, you know, you had a nice personal comment about me. Like, that means the world to me. And
Rick, I'm just seeing. And so I'm at the tail end. Like, I've started, grown, and sold 3 businesses. Mm-hmm. So yep. I'm over chasing the dollar and chasing the freedom, which, by the way, doesn't exist. That's a complete lie. There is no freedom anywhere. It's what people think. It just doesn't exist. That's a fairy tale end. But done that, what matters the most at the end of the day for me, and this doesn't have to be for everybody, is impact and influence and loving people well and trying to do the best that we can do to serve people well. And at the end of the day, that's the fulfillment of, like, we want to do it right. We don't want to do it just fast, and we don't want to just try to get money out of people, but, like, we really want to put our money where our mouth is. So the 2 questions I have for your listeners, I don't care what industry you are, is how much time do you spend versus sales and marketing? How much time do you spend on strategy for your existing customers? Number one. Like, time, if you were going to put in a year, we spend 20% of our time, 5%, 1%, no percent, 70%. How much time do you spend strategizing about making it better for your customers? Number one. And number two is, how much budget do you have allotted from your staff and to your spend to your customers of keeping customers compared to your spend to acquire customers? And I would dare say that it's going to be extremely lopsided to the front side of the business, which is fine if you're in it for short-term cash, but if you want long-term value, and if you want to create something of value and you want to create customers of value for years and years and years to come, it better be about even.
Yeah. I'm so glad you bring that up, because this is something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, because I did that for the first I mean, I'm embarrassed to say for the first probably 4 years of my business, for way too long in my book, that it was grow, 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 grow. Don't worry about, I mean, yes, serve our existing clients.
Yeah. And it's not that you don't, yeah.
But it's really been within the past year that I've really been thinking about, you know what, like we're always trying to get more, build our email list, get more leads, get more sales. But to your point, Casey, how are we making the experience for our existing students, our existing customers better? So that for all the reasons that you're talking about now. And this is something that's a big focus for my team and me right now.
Good.
And how do we improve that? You know, I definitely have some work to do there. I know that. But this is something I've definitely become aware of over the past little while. And like I said, it's taken me too long, I think, to get to that point. But here we are. And we learned from this stuff.
Yeah. This isn't like a destination to be arrived at. So for instance, I'm in Atlanta and I know tons of people that work at Chick-fil-A corporate. And, you know, that's a unicorn of a company. But they, so in 1980s, there was a story about Truett Cathy, who is super, super, he was just a very wise, very humble. He wasn't this like big ego leader. He didn't raise his voice and all this kind of stuff all the time. He wasn't extrovert, crazy, over the top. He was just but a really solid leader. And Boston Market came into the market and started dominating them on store growth. And so there's a story, and it's the urban legend of what built the foundation of a lot of the culture at Chick-fil-A, as he's listening to his executive team freak out about this. And we got to grow and we've got to get all this kind of stuff. And he listens, and then finally he hits the desk. And when Truett Cathy hits the desk, you know something's wrong. And so he hits the board meeting, and he says, "What we need to focus on is getting better, and then the market will demand that we get bigger." And that's been their whole mantra. So they don't discount. They don't charge you extra for sauce. They just, they charge a premium. They don't have crazy stuff. They have a very limited menu. And their whole mantra is, let's get better, let's get better, let's get better, let's get better. And the market over time has demanded they get bigger and bigger and bigger. But we're so short-term focused as entrepreneurs, we don't have a long game. And if we don't have a long game, then it just turns into a cash game. And if you have a cash game, you're going to treat people like you're getting cash from them. Even if you love them and stuff, you're still just going to, at the end of the day, your intentions are going to be to get cash from them, not get the customer for the long haul. So I thought that was a good story of just, you know, what, yeah. How are you playing? You have a long game, or is this in it for just like a 2-year sprint or whatever?
Yeah, I love that. I want to start to wrap up here, but I want to shift a little bit into, you know, you said that you started and sold 3 businesses.
Yeah.
You are somebody that I go to for CEO mentorship, if you will, from afar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as somebody who has started their business, let's just say, so, you know, we evolve as quote unquote solopreneurs, right? We start to build our team. One of the biggest struggles, and I talk to a lot of, you know, friends and colleagues and mutual friends that we have about this. And when we go from the transition of that entrepreneur who's built the business to becoming the CEO and stepping further back from the business to run the business, that's a big shock to the system, if you will.
Yeah.
What are some things there that you've seen, that you've experienced, that, you know, that you've seen just, you know, from people that you know in that transition to make it a little bit easier?
Yeah. Well, one of my mentors is Clay Mask, who started Infusionsoft, and he's mentored so many businesses. And he took a company from, you know, scratch to over $100 million in a relatively short period of time. One of the things they've identified in their study of small businesses is that there's hurdles that happen on the ones and the threes of business. And this is what they've had. And we start going through it. It's like, wow, it's true. The $100,000 mark, the $300,000 mark, the $1 million mark, the $3 million, and then the $10 million. And so there's different hurdles that happen at different times. And so the entrepreneur has to remain the entrepreneur from 0 to about 1 million pushing into 3. Mm-hmm. When you get from 1 million pushing into 3, the transition becomes from you being the visionary and you. So the org chart of that entrepreneur looks like, I'm the entrepreneur, and then there's people around me in a circle that respond to me.
Yeah.
So it's like a little kid's soccer team and they run all to the ball, right? Yeah. But nobody stays in position.
Right.
So the transition from 3 to 10 is that you hire people in functional areas of marketing, sales, operations, technology, finance, that stay in their position, and it's not responding to the whims and the request of the CEO of what we should do next, but it's taking the initial foundation and scaling that up. And so the thing I would say, the number one thing I see people struggle with, especially as they get into the millions and they're trying to transition to CEO, is they think delegate weaknesses. But what you really have to delegate is everything. You have to delegate all roles. And the number one area for you to let go of that's the hardest is the thing that you're good at. So I'm a sales guy. I'm not a marketer. I'm not an ops guy. I'm not a finance guy. I'm a sales guy. If you just cut me open, that's what I love. And so the hardest thing for me to give up and the hardest thing for me to hire is a VP of sales and marketing that can lead that org, because it's just like, it's always going to be kind of my baby, and I'm always going to be care about it a little bit more than everything else. And so that's just how I am. And so you've got to identify that you first delegate your weaknesses from 0 to 1 million. And then from 1 to 3 million, you start delegating your strengths. And then from 10 million to 30 million, you delegate it all. And so that's kind of the stretch. So you've got to just let go. And the way you let go is to create systems that manage people so you can see metrics. It's metrics-driven leadership that's managed by other senior leaders in the business. So if you're the smartest one in marketing, you're just not going to grow beyond how smart you are in marketing. I mean, it's just the way it is. It doesn't mean that you're not smart. It just means that, like, sure, you're never going to scale. You're never going to scale. And so then I hear the excuses come up, like, oh, well, the market's too small, or I'm burnt out, or, you know, I don't want to do this. And really what it is, it's not any of that. It's just that they're not willing to own up to the fact that they're the problem, but they're also the solution, to say, I've got to get out of this so that other people can run it. And I'm going to shrink my profit margins for a period of time so that I can have a ramp down the road. And so people think they want to be 10 million or 30 million, but they don't want to do what it takes financially for the investment of the leaders it takes to get there. And so they have this dream one day, and it's just not real, because you can't do that and maintain 40% profit margin. So, like, you've got to, like, dip so that you can go up. So that's a lot, but that's just...
Do you find that in the quote unquote lower revenue businesses as well? From, like, let's just say taking a $100,000 business to 500,000. Yep. Do you find those kind of, I'm glad you bring this up, like those, you know, the profit margin dips when you're jumping to that next level? Yep. Or is it mostly on that bigger scale?
Well, it just depends on what you're trying to do and how fast you're trying to do it. So for instance, a lot of people have issues with hiring people that are going to get paid a big salary. So if you're a $500,000 business and you're hearing this and you go, like, I would love a marketing director that, but I would have to pay them, like, you know, $80,000 or $90,000. They always think, I'm going to sell more to create more profit, and then I'm going to go hire that person one day when it makes sense. It never works. Ever. The mindset has to shift that even in the smaller, when you're smaller, you'll never have the money until you make the investment to the people that can help you get the money. Now, you may get more sales, but you're not going to sustain it over a long period of time. Yeah. And so what I get on the people all the time, I only have one, well, I have a couple of pet peeves. One pet peeve is this: they cost $90,000. No, they don't. They cost every 2 weeks about $3,800 if they're $90,000. So, but you're rich in 90 days, you're going to know. So you're only making really about a $20,000 risk in this, and you think 90, but you have, do you have 20? Yeah, I have 20. Well, then you know. So, like, especially in sales and marketing roles when it's super measurable, like, make that hire, make that investment, get those people, and then they'll take you to the next level, but only if they have metrics that are attached to growing the business.
I love that you put that, because I think the same way, like you just said, like, oh, if I'm going to hire somebody and, you know, and it's a whatever, $70,000, $80,000 role, break it down like that. And, like, you're going to know within a quarter.
You'll know.
And it's a fraction of that. If they're ROI positive, then yeah. Oh, okay, cool. They're paid, you know, it's worth it. I love that you broke that down.
It's just like, when you really break down the fundamentals of how people grow things, they simply get the right people and they give them the right amount of money and they get out of the way. That's the simplest version of, they get the right people, they give them the right amount of resources, and they get out of the way.
Yeah, I love it. Casey, I've been taking, like, I have like 2 pages of notes here out of all this stuff. And like I said, I had no idea where this was going to go.
Yeah.
But selfishly, I asked you a lot of questions that I want to know about, but I think I know a lot of this stuff. I mean, what you talked about here today is going to be of huge value and benefit to my listeners. So thank you for sharing all this stuff and going in the different directions. I wanted to stay true to your Enneagram 7, whatever that was, being able to talk about one topic, going to the next. So really good stuff here today. I want to make sure that people can connect with you, give Gravy a try if they want to do that. For AOPT listeners, Casey's been good enough to offer a no implementation fee to sign up with Gravy. And again, you've been hearing about Gravy here during this episode here. So if you have any kind of business where you get reoccurring revenue, whether it's a membership program, whether it's a payment plan, you know, that sort of thing, working with Casey's team is one of the best things that you can do to recover that in the most integral way that I have found possible. And so if you want to check that out, rickmulready.com/gravy will get you that no assessment fee to start working with Casey and his team. Really, really good stuff working with his team. I have been fortunate enough to meet a lot of them at conferences when he and the team are here in San Diego. They're really, really good people. So definitely check that out, rickmulready.com/gravy. And Casey, where can people connect with you on Instagram? Because I know that you're always sharing like these, you know, the CEO strategies and all the type of stuff that we talked about today on a regular basis.
Yeah. So it's just my name, @CaseyGraham. So that's it. We'll have it, I'm sure, in the show notes.
And, yeah, for sure.
Pretty easy to find. Our website, again, go to Rick's link if you wanted the discount, but just the website in general is gravysolutions.io. And if you come that way, just tell us, hey, I heard about you on Rick's show. And Rick, we don't have an affiliate deal, but we should do one on the air right now.
Let's do it.
No, but thanks, Rick, for having me. And thank you guys for listening today.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you, man. All right. As I mentioned at the top of the show, there is a brand new Accelerator Mastermind group, which is forming right now for 15 online experts. And this program runs from October 1st, 2019 through March 2020. I can't believe we're already talking about 2020. If you are an online expert, this is your opportunity to inject coaching, support, and accountability as we finish off the year here in 2019, and so that you can roll into 2020 with some big time momentum. So again, if you're an online expert, meaning you're an online educator, you're a course creator, you're a coach, you're a consultant, et cetera, and you've already achieved a certain level of success, but you're now spinning your wheels to get to the next level, you very likely do not need another course or to read more books. What you need is a cohesive growth strategy. And so in addition to leads and sales from Facebook and Instagram ads, it also takes things like mastering your mindset, building your team, prioritizing where you should be focusing your time in the business, becoming the CEO of your business, continuing to position yourself as an expert, creating and launching offers, mastering time management. I mean, I could go on here. Right? Most experts, and including me up until recently, teach Facebook and Instagram ads in a vacuum. But to create sustainable growth in your business, it takes a more holistic strategy along with things like coaching, accountability, community, and support, because it's all connected, my friends. And so I want to help you. In the same way that having a coach helped me grow my business to where it is today, it's my turn to give that gift to others. So if you're ready for coaching, support, and accountability and taking your online expert business to the next level, then my 6-month Accelerator Mastermind may be for you. Again, this new program starts October 1st and runs through the end of March 2020. So if you'd like to learn more and schedule a free strategy session with me to find out if you might be a fit for the Accelerator, go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. You can learn more and fill an application there. And then we'll take things to the next step in scheduling your free strategy session after that. Again, it's Rick Mulready. Rick, I'm going too fast. rickmulready.com/accelerator. All right, my friends, coming up on the podcast, got another quick tip episode coming your way on Friday. So until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your online marketing to find out what works for you and your business. Then do more of what's working, right? Simpler and do more of what's working. I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.